I think I'll probably...
Monday, April 20, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 1 o'clock, Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:30 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Martin?
Here.
Tony is absent. Kevin?
Here.
Larry is absent. Janet?
Here.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to excuse Larry and Tony. I've talked to both of them. Larry called, or Tony called last night, said that with everything the way it is, if we need to talk to him, we can certainly dial him in. And I'd also talked to Larry. Larry did want to be involved when we opened the bids for the overlay project out in Tompkins, so I told him prior to that time we will contact him and we'll just go from there. So I'd make that motion to excuse those two from our meeting.
I'll second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for all to review by all citizens in attendance today. Yep. We'll go ahead and start with public comment. That's where if anybody's here wants to make comment on anything that's not on the agenda today, now would be the time to do that. We do have a phone call from Michelle Iverson, and we're going to talk about that first. She lives out on Highway 110, 1588 Highway 110. It's regarding dust issue that she has on 160th Street from the trucks, semis and dump trucks hauling material in and out of the crushed concrete place out there in that area. So Michelle, do you want to just let us know a little bit about what you have going on? This is Martin Hohenstein.
Okay, well, as you know, Mark has the rock crushing plant at the end of the road down there. We have, and Mark has gone out of his way to assist us in any way that he can, help keep the dust down on the road, pretty much, and also Fred has done a couple of different things to try to assist us, but nothing is helping. I have COPD. We're to the point where, I mean, we can't even open our windows in our house because 90% of the time that dust coming out of the south, as you can see on those videos. Mark's drivers are really good about slowing down when they get up by the house. We have a 4B that runs down there. I have contacted them up in Lamar, and the owner pretty much told me if I wanted the trucks to slow down, I needed to get in front of them on the road. It's crazy out here when the wind's blowing.
Okay.
Seen a couple of different times when he was out here, the dust from the road. Our driveway, where it starts, is 83.5 feet from the end of our driveway to the highway, the south side. And the video, you can see where the dust is floating across the driveway, or across our lawn. Our animals go out there, they come back in, they're filthy because of the dust. It shakes our house so hard that even the mortar in between the brick in the basement is crumbling. I mean, there's piles of it on the floor when you get down there. I mean, this house is over 103 years old. So it takes a lot of beating from the truck. We don't have central air. We have regular air conditioners in our windows. The dust automatically plugs them up to the point where we have to clean them like every 2 weeks just so they'll run correctly. We used to have 4th of July parties out here every year. We quit doing that because the trucks were running on the holiday also. They run on the weekend. Us trying to mow out here, we're on 5 acres. We try to mow and the trucks just help us with stuff. So what we're just trying to do is to find out if there's any way that somebody can help us to get this situation taken care of so we can, you know, be able to be outside.
What has Mark done, or what are the options that have been tried already?
Well, Mark actually had a water truck running for a while. He actually put a Rainbird system in the ditch of the road to water the road. Well, he hooked it up to our water. And for a while, he was going ahead and giving a truck to kind of help cover the water. But when we got the wind blowing and it's hot out, we had it set so it would run four times per day. And it would be like when we were outside, or my husband was feeding the animals outside. We've since quit using that because there's been no checks given to us. That was 3 years ago. A friend had put some crushed stuff on the road, which helped for a while, but with the truck beating it down, and then it would rain, and then Mark's guys are coming down and grading the road because they are supposed to be quote-unquote maintaining it. That didn't last very long. Fred at one point had put some rock on there. That lasted for a while. But for the last 3 years, there's been nothing done out there.
All right.
Mark's record's pretty good about pulling down when they get up by the house.
Yeah, and watching the videos, it is amazing. You can tell that all of Mark's guys, you know, when they get close to the property, they slow down. It certainly makes a difference. It all kind of depends on the direction of the wind. Sometimes when there's just a little bit of wind, it's even worse because then it just kind of stays together and slides over on your place there.
Right.
Having grown up on a crushed concrete road my whole life, I am aware of what you're going through. It's definitely get a lot of particles in the air when that happens.
Right.
I mean, I've seen in front of some people's houses where they put some oil on there, and maybe if that's not appropriate.
I think it is appropriate. It's appropriate. There's different things you can do to treat the road. It's just, you know, if the county gets involved in something like that, I got a feeling we'll be treating 400 miles of road.
Yeah,
I know down at Dwayne and Joyce Jenkins,
yeah,
they do their road. I know in front of their place. All right.
I don't know how long it lasts, but it seems to be.
All right. Thanks for.
The issue is, you know, anything you put on that road with the truck running, Mark's guys are going to be grading that road, especially with if it rains and the trucks are running through the mud. I mean, they grade that road at least once a week, probably after it rains.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, we'll get together. Thank you for all the information and the video that came with that. We'll get together with Fred and talk to him and see if there's any remedies that you know, we can come on to possibly help, and then we'll get back to you.
Okay, yeah, because I mean, we even thought about selling our house, but we're not going to get what we need out of it. Somebody comes out here to look at the house and then trucks are running, they're going to say no way. So, anything you guys can do to help would be awesome.
Okay. Well, thanks again for all the information.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Anybody else have anything they want to talk about that is not on the agenda? Jeff, you want to step?
Yeah, you are.
Yep. You want to step up?
Up where?
To the podium there. Front and center.
Oh, Lord. I've done this since I was three. My concern Fred knows it. They put a culvert across the road, Nottoway Road, coming out of Gill's property. Joe Gill, the Hills, and it's a spring. It opened up. It's always been there, but it really opened up here last year, 2 years ago. And it's coming across, the culvert's coming under the road, going up on top of some property, and it's draining down into my property, which is down on the bottom. I've only got 0.3 acres, and not quite half of it's underwater and unusable. I spent $3,800 to get water rights so I can do something someday or sell it. And, you know, I've got less land now than I had before. I don't know what you guys can do about it. I mean, it ain't fair to me to take that water on that's not mine, and I don't know where else it can go.
Yeah, it's a tough deal. I mean, the way in the state of Nebraska, that's one of the things we've dealt with a lot in the last couple of years is, water running and people trying to divert water. So it is. It's a very complicated deal, and it's an issue that comes up way more than you'd think it would.
Well, you know, you can reroute the water, make it go somewhere else. I talked to Fred, and we thought maybe going back the opposite direction toward that drainage ditch. Otherwise, I mean, I need my land. The only option I have is filling it up level, and that's going to make a dam. That's going to mess the other people up for me, and then I'm going to be the
bad guy. Fred, how far away from a possible drainage ditch are we?
It's probably a half, not quite a half a mile, a third of a mile away from the bigger culverts on down east. But the problem there's utilities in our ditch line, which is mostly rural water. It prevents us from making a nice ditch all the way down there.
Yeah.
The water that's running on Mr. Stork's property, like you said, it was a spring that never came across the road, started running more, and we did put the culvert in, but it was running across our road to keep it open for emergency vehicles and residents to put a culvert in. But like I said, it was just never a problem before. This is the only solution is to run it onto someone else. It's going to be head towards the river. There's bluffs to the south, so it's going to go north. You can run it a little ways east, but eventually it's got to go south.
And then Lynch is next to mine to the east, and I've actually made ditches going to try to look for a low spot. And the put a low spot over there and for culvert going to the river or what? I mean, then somebody's going to get an easement. I don't know what to do.
The only way we could actually get it from running where it is to run it east down to approximately where the rural water shutoffs are.
Right on the east side of Civil Way.
Yeah, right there at that intersection and run a culvert across
Kitty Corner across to the east side of Silver.
Then we're going to be running on
Silver, which has got
property.
They're kind of their water, really.
And we are changing the direction of water flow there.
But and that's the thing you can't do.
We didn't change the direction of water flow.
Well, actually, the county did. They came in a few years ago and they dug that ditch out because the water was running straight across the road from.
Well, we can move the culvert down another 30 feet, but it's not going.
Because they went from Gill's driveway to where the culvert is now,
and
that's where the water was.
And we can make it run straight out of there, but I don't. It's still going to run straight to the north.
Well, am I going to be in trouble when I build my property up and I got water? Mad people on both sides of me.
What usually happens in that situation, or I guess in my opinion, what usually happens is somebody does that and then. I mean, it's not handled by the county. It's handled by one landowner getting an attorney and you getting an attorney and then deciding what the deal is with the water rights. I mean, it's definitely not a good situation. It's not a great solve for anybody. For you, I understand exactly what you're in the middle of. I mean,
and I got the most on my property.
Yeah. Yeah.
On 0.3 acres.
I know. Yeah. It's not like you got 50 acres out there.
I don't have 50 acres.
You got a little bit on the corner, so. Is it near, is it got your rural water pit covered, or did you get a pit out there?
I haven't got a pit yet. It's going to be on the road, but the okay. water is set back from the road.
Yeah.
There's no easy way of doing it, but I think Fred's right. I think we need to go to the east, kitty corner across Civil Way, and dump it into the Lynch property. What are they going to say about it? I mean, that's all unused property anyway down in there. It's kind of a swamp. And that road ditch, that's the ditch that's coming from the north or the south going north, you know, the ditch, it's already dumping into the Lynch property.
There is water standing there already.
Yes, I mean, quite a little bit.
Yeah.
There's water standing everywhere. I mean, the water table is just so high. And that would, and I don't even know how something like that would happen. If they would be agreeable to, I mean, they definitely have to be agreeable, but I don't even know if that's an option then, you know, as far as running down there.
I don't know. That's why I'm here.
I hear you. And I hate to be the one that at the end of every conversation says, well, we'll get back to you. But that's what I feel like.
I haven't gotten heard from anybody since the last comments that we've had. I talked to people.
Yeah.
A couple of you guys come out. Fred, yeah. Kevin, goodbye.
I've been out there a couple times, too, to check it out. It's definitely a spring coming. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not melt. It's a spring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like a creek down that one side.
But like I said, it used to run across the road at Gil's driveway, and a little tiny culvert going across his driveway is just plugged up. I mean, no water can even go that way if they wanted to.
The county can put a culvert in Gil's driveway. It's just that we're just making a bigger holding pond. The only way to actually get rid of the water is to get it across
the road
somehow. I mean, it's not going to go far east. It's just,
and if you guys don't do nothing, then I sit there with a leg of water.
Mm-hmm. As you know, you've lived up there quite a while now, and it's never been a problem. And lately, in the last few years, with the high water table, there's water running there. It's not the only place that we have that.
Right now, the little farm that I live on, I have 7 acres of water that wasn't water a year ago. That whole little deal north of that pond is, you know, standing water, and it's got nowhere to go. You know, it flows gently through the old lake bed, but then it gathers there where they're.
We had a resident last meeting that had water flowing on his property and wanted the county to do something, and it's just like, well, we can't make the water quit running, of course. It's just where to go with it. I'd love to see it go elsewhere, but I don't know if dumping it on someone else's property is going to.
That's what's happening right now.
To be the solution. And like you say, if you want the culvert moved back down to Gil's driveway, but that's not going to change your problem.
It might change it a little bit if it goes across that field.
Because the road was.
And then it's not going to be coming from the top. Going to go right onto Lynch's, and that would be a lot easier for me to plug up. I mean, I'm kind of willing to the point to where I can.
If we get to the river.
That would be, you know, in a perfect world, if you.
How hard would it be for us to get to the river?
You'd have to get.
What's that, Kelly?
I mean, how hard is it going to be for us to get that water to the river?
Who lives straight north of you?
Several properties along the river.
There's
right
a couple
there.
Properties.
Yeah.
But Lynch is zoned from Tom Lynch's place to the east, and there's a driveway that goes straight to the river, right down Civil Way. I mean, you go underneath the road or whatever. Lynch's may, I don't know, I mean, I don't know, I can't speak for them, but that'd be your best bet for a culvert going to the river right there.
Well, the county can't go through private property to drain it. I mean, you're talking probably 1,000 feet or better.
Well, the civil roads, the county.
I mean, if we're going to put a culvert clear of the river, is that what we're talking?
Or a waterway.
How?
Huh?
Or a waterway.
A ditch?
But I mean, it wouldn't be something.
We're going to be going through several properties to do that.
I'm just saying that we can't do work on that, on private property.
I strongly suggest that we don't do that.
Yeah, that's.
We got our own right of way.
Yeah.
We can great, but if we start running water on private property, and the county is responsible for it. I don't would want to be too bad. If you want to hire a private contractor engineer to look at it, I'll gladly go that way. But it'd be, you know, no one's going to want an open ditch running through their property to clear the river. The people to the north of Silver Way, I don't think we could find anybody that'd be willing to do that.
Not an open ditch, culvert possibly, I don't know.
I mean, the storm sewer system sometimes, but...
But just the, you know, just the cost of a culvert alone, that distance would be so cost prohibitive that...
Yeah, I mean, if you could make it work, but it would not be cheap. Like I say, if you...
Have you ever shot that grade?
What's that?
Have you ever shot the grade on that?
From going clear to the east?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. And it's fine. You'd have to go down about 2-3 feet, especially right there where they put all them water.
Water. Yeah, that wasn't there last year.
It's been 2 years since they put them in.
There, what, 2 years?
I told them to put them, to make sure they put them on the edge of our right of way. Put it on the edge of the road.
What's the difference to the grade between Silver Way and Gill's driveway where the water's coming out?
Now that there, it'll go from Silver Way, the water will actually drain down to where the water shutoffs for the rural water at Silver Way.
Because that's the county ditch.
That's true. It's not hard to get it to run to there.
Yeah.
It's just that once it gets to there, then you're going to back some off in that field. I mean, it's not going to keep following a line down through there. And then I got utilities there that are, you're going to have water running over top of your rural water, which I guess will be there. That's their problem, not mine. But there's just no easy solution.
No.
Like I said, I've looked at it, and I mean, the easiest way would be go straight east, clear down the big culverts that go to the dump.
That'd be
and eventually it ends up on Lynch's property anyway, and flows into the river.
But you say you can't change the direction of water. That's changing the direction of it's deterring water. You gotta make the water go somewhere, so why can't you take it to, is that a county ditch, or whose ditch is that going through that field, going in under that culvert on that road?
Well, once it goes under the road, then it's somebody else's. I don't know. It's not county. County has a city.
Who put that ditch that's there coming out of the hills? That's somebody put that there?
I don't know what ditch.
That ditch east of the, east of Silver Way, or...
The one clear on down where the bigger culverts lay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the county put the culverts in.
Right. They just did. But whose ditch is that going to the east? I mean, I'm just curious. I mean, who? Why would somebody put that there for?
I'm supposing there, it looks like there's a creek waterway that came underneath there.
An old creek bed.
But I mean, the county didn't do it, no. At least if they did it. Before Freddie, way before
And that's a long time.
I remember when Freddie started. Alright, well, I'd like to see it moved to the east, or to the at least Civil Way.
Okay.
If that'd work, because then I can work on stopping the water coming from me and Gonzale and Tiger.
Well, we'll still look at a possibility. I haven't talked to Mr. Lynch, but I just to say I'm going to run it over there without talking to him.
Right.
I'm not going to do all that work and have him say, hey, you rerouted all this water.
Somebody was saying there's a culvert under that road. I've never seen it. Right there. There's somewhere there, on Civil Way.
I've come across two culverts in the last year, just when I've been doing work, that I had no idea were there, and that have been there for 70 years.
Is there a way you can find out there's a culvert over there by the Civil Way?
If you,
We've tried metal detectors.
I just happened across them when I was digging. I had no idea they were there.
Map or something in the counties somewhere.
70-year-old map.
We finally started going out and marking where all of our calls
GPS
are.
GPS, huh?
But if it's over 10 years old, we have no idea where they're at anymore. Especially if they're very plugged, which
most are. A lot of them are.
There's a lot of them.
Well, you got to check in and see what there's other options are then?
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll look for it. If there's one down there at Lynch Avenue already, or Civil Way, then it's we're just replacing it. I'd love to get the water to go in the right direction where everybody's happy. It's just the only thing I couldn't is like I got tired of running across the road and the road being closed. That was my, I just tried to fix that problem. It wasn't to see how much water I could put on you.
I know that, but it happened.
Yeah, I know. And the water is going to run downhill. There ain't nobody going to stop that.
All right, well, somebody can let me know what you're going to do.
Okay. Yeah. We'll probably be up there digging. We'll get some locates. There's a lot of
spikes and shit going through there.
We'll see what we can find.
All right.
All right, well, thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Luke.
Next, we'll go to consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from April 6, 2020. Accounts payable. I did come in this morning and went through accounts payable. Everything seemed to be in order. And then approval of the official report from the clerk, the register of deeds, and the clerk of district court.
I have a question. I just was looking at the bills. Did something happen to our boilers? There was a pretty significant...
Yeah, that was the boilers. The boiler system has been replaced. We had three boilers previously that were 65% efficient. Mm-hmm. And they were to the point, they were over 500 pounds apiece. And I know because I helped the guys load one in the trailer. And they replaced them with two boilers that are 98% efficient. Okay. And it was a sizable... But we knew that was coming. Now we have two boilers doing the work of three, and they're much more efficient. So hopefully it should help us on the utility end of it.
Okay.
And they got them hauled to town.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items, which would be the minutes, the accounts payable, and the official reports.
I'll second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin? Kevin.
Yes.
All right, then new business, board to approve payroll claims from April 5th through April 18th, 2020. And I did go through those, and everything seemed to be in order with regards to payroll claims.
I'll make a motion to accept payroll claims.
I'll second that. Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right. Well, could we take a minute to call Larry? We're going to call him when we open our bids for the overlay. One, right here in the old phone, Brad.
It is not necessary to dial a 1 for a
just a 9 and then 7 2.
And try your call again. We're sorry.
Don't worry, I still got the number.
She didn't sound sorry to me.
I still got the number in my trusty phone. Just like you'd imagine.
712.
Cats.
712.
259. Yep. 259-1191.
Sarah Gray Zapp.
This isn't going exactly as planned, but we'll try it one more time.
This is going to be the hard to push, aren't they?
I think I broke it, Joan.
At least you'll remember Larry's number after this.
Yeah. Maybe that was Larry's message. Just him mumbling and hanging on.
Good move.
Larry.
Yeah.
It's Kevin.
Who's here?
Kevin, Brody.
Oh, yeah. How you doing?
Good. We've got you on speakerphone. Freddie's getting ready to open up the bids for the old sawmill overlaying.
Oh, good.
Why'd you hang up on us?
It's getting to the point where it needs patched again. But if they can get there real quick, there's no sense in doing that, you know.
All right, Fred, who's first?
Knife River. This is for a 3-inch overlay and then milling that on Old Sawmill Road, the 3-inch overlay, and then the joint repair on Lake Avenue, which is 18-inch wide milling with 2-inch deep on 27 joints.
Are they together?
Should be all one bid. At least that's how I set okay. it out for. And Knife River is at $55,115.
Did you get that, Larry?
Yeah.
The next is Barkley Asphalt. Theirs is $49,890. And the last one is Frank's Asphalt. He is $53,325.
All right, so it looks like Barkley is our low bid by about $3,400. We've had them in the past. We've been happy with their work.
Correct.
Anybody else got any questions with regards to our bids here?
Completed by June 1. That's June 1? That date is okay.
Yes.
Yep.
Motion?
Welcome to. Larry, what do you think, Larry?
Well, I think it's pretty good bids, really.
Yeah, I think all three of them are pretty good. I was surprised.
Yeah, I think so too. It looks like to me, anyway.
Yeah, okay. I thought they were pretty competitive.
Yeah.
I think I'd go with Barkley, Fred. Larry, that'd be my recommendation. What do you think?
Yeah, if the figures check out and everything. And I don't know if they have kicker bid items or not, but if it's just lump sum, I guess the lump sum and Barkley would be a little better.
Yep.
Okay. I can make a motion to accept the bid from Barclays for $49,890 for the Sawmill Road and Lake Avenue project.
Hey, Larry?
Yeah.
Would you second that? Because we've never had a second from a remote site. We'd be groundbreakers.
Yeah, I'm thinking that. Go ahead. Yeah.
I see. Right. I can make a motion. Did he do it?
Yep.
Kevin.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Martin?
Yes. All right, thank you, Larry.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for the call.
You bet.
Okay, bye.
Bye. All right, next we have Brittany Book, Siouxland Cares Director, to inform the board about the Teen Court in Dakota County program. It's got a brief overview and highlights and the impact it's made in the 20 years that it's run here. Yay!
I have a little PowerPoint too, I hope.
Yeah. Possible. Yeah, it is possible, I believe.
I did not print an outline, so I'm hoping.
I could probably stream it on my phone.
Yeah. That'd be great.
World War III. The only critical device that's going to communicate with everybody's phone.
The only thing that will make
the war with that phone.
The only thing that'll make it through will be the cockroaches in his phone.
Oh my gosh. That's good. I'm impressed that you kept that mix.
How's everything in Siouxland Cares? Is this affecting everything that you guys do also?
Yeah, we're doing service a little bit differently right now, but mm-hmm. we're still operating in different forms. We've all been kind of working from home and limited office exposure just during this time, but yeah, it's been a unique time for everybody, I think.
I know, it is. We even made a motion over the phone today, and we've never done that till today.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
What am I doing?
Against that little thing right down there, a little.
Yep, there. It's like a little to the left a little bit. Yep, there. Perfect. Okay. All right. Awesome. So, as Joan mentioned, my name is Brittany Book. It's on the agenda as well, too, but I'm with Siouxland Cares. I'm also with Teen Court in Dakota County, and I am a resident of Dakota County as well. So today I'm really excited to present some data about our Teen Court program. The program will be coming to an end June 30th of this year after serving the community for nearly 20 years. It first began in the fall of 2000. You can see how the funding initially started out under the Drug Free Community Support Program grant. However, currently and in more recent years, we've received funding through the Nebraska Crime Commission through the community-based juvenile services aid grant through Dakota County. Our very first teen court coordinator was Missy O'Connell Ackerman, and our very first judge was Scott Rager with Great West Casualty Company, and that partnership with Great West has continued the entirety of the program. And then, just for a little program overview for those of you who aren't as familiar with it, it is a diversion program for first-time youth offenders. It's an alternative to the regular court system, and the biggest benefit to the youth involved is that it's the absence of a permanent record. So the youth who receive a citation in Dakota County are then, through Kim Watson, as well as Mike Schmidt, city and county attorneys, will review those citations and then make the determination to refer them on to Sarah Deck, who is our juvenile diversion coordinator, and then she makes the determination if they're a fit for teen court. So with that, the overall purpose is to discourage criminal activity through positive peer pressure. It's encouraging youth to respect and abide by the laws, and I think one of the biggest things is nurturing a healthy attitude toward rules and authority from all the youth involved. Next, so first I want to talk about a little bit about our youth volunteers. So if you go on to the next slide. So currently we have approximately 50 youth volunteers. These youth are recruited and trained by Siouxland Cares. They're from the tri-state area, and the youth are trained to serve as jury members, foreperson, bailiff, defense attorney, and prosecution attorney. We do have a list of procedures the youth go through, and as I mentioned, Great West serves as our judge for the courtroom. But other than that, it's our youth volunteers who really run it. And then just some data, and these numbers do reflect 18 years of recorded data. But Teen Court has had 899 volunteers, which again is approximately 50 volunteers a year. And those youth have contributed 11,786 hours back to the community, which is really incredible to see. And then if you go on to the next, one thing that we had hoped to do was to bring in some of our youth volunteers to give testimonials, but due to COVID-19, that's not an option. So we have our testimonials here, and if you don't mind, is it okay if I read through? There's just three of them, and mm-hmm. I think they're really cool testimonials to share. So Teen Court has been a wonderful experience. Through my participation in the program, I have learned so much about the legal system. Whether I was participating as a defense attorney, a prosecuting attorney, or as a juror, I always felt that I was truly making a difference in someone's life. I'm truly going to miss my time as a Teen Court volunteer. And then next slide, Gabby Garcia. Teen Court has been quite a unique experience. It has been a time where I have been able to serve as a student leader and help advocate for students that have broken the rules or made wrong decisions and provide them with solutions to those problems. I am able to serve as someone that can help enforce policies and help make our community a better place. I have served as a juror, prosecuting, and defense attorney. In all of these roles, I have made sure to keep the best interest of my peers, school, and community. I truly enjoyed the opportunity to be a part of such a great organization, and I'm thankful for the knowledge I have gained through it. And then last but not least is Isaacs. I have served on Teen Court for the past 4 years, and it has provided me with many opportunities to help teens who are struggling. I've held nearly every court position, but I was a prosecution attorney for most of the Teen Court sessions. Feels good to know that I can help other people my age get on the right track just by doing something that I enjoy anyways. So these are just three of many of our volunteers in the program, and I think the best part about all of those testimonials is that they're not just there to volunteer. The kids that are our volunteers are very passionate about the program and giving back to the community through it. So that is very inspiring for all of us who work at Siouxland Cares. And then the next piece to that is our Teen Court clients. And so this is some data on that. So as I mentioned, these two Teen Court clients are ones that are referred to Teen Court. Since 2000, Teen Court has served 395 clients. And those clients, among their consequences they may get, and it's on a case-by-case basis, community service is always a requirement. It just depends on how many hours. And so throughout the 20 years, 5,524 community service hours have been completed by those clients. The gender, I think the percentages maybe got a little off on the last slide, Joan. The chart, oh, I don't know where the percentage went. So 59% are male, you can see there. On the next slide, hopefully the graphs show up okay here. And then on the next slide, I think, we have our race, ethnicity, and I think those ones are all good there. Okay, so then each of these slides are really just our specific data to our clients in the program. So you can see our largest percentage served were Hispanic-Latino, 52%. Then Caucasian and white were 31%. Native American, American Indian made up 8%. And then smaller numbers on African American, Asian, and multiple ethnicities. And then on the next slide, it's residency. So as I mentioned, they do not need to be Dakota County residents to be referred to the program. However, you can see the vast majority of them are Dakota County residents. The largest residency is South Sioux City. Sioux City's 21%, and then more rural Dakota County areas. And then on the next slide, we have the total number of cases, which I think this is a very interesting graph to see since our beginning. You can see how we kind of got started in 2001 with our cases. And we've had some years where we've had some pretty big jumps in case referrals, as you can tell in 2004 and 2013. And then likewise, some lower years in 2002, 8, and then again in 2019. And then on the next slide, we have our types of offenses. Our largest is criminal mischief, curfew, shoplifting, assault, also decent percentages on minor and possession of alcohol. In more recent years, we've actually seen quite a few cases that have been referred for minor and possession of tobacco or vaping device by minor. And then I think that might be it. So with that, those are just some data sets that we wanted to share with each of you. We loved our Teen Court program. It's fantastic. It's been cool to see not only the youth volunteers grow throughout the program, but also the clients that we're serving through it. The youth get referred to us, and then we work with them for 90 days to see their contract completion. And so it is really a nice program. We've enjoyed being able to partner with Dakota County for this. And with that, I just want to thank you all for your support.
Absolutely.
Any questions?
It ended because of the funding?
Well, actually,
or because of the, why is it?
It's been a couple of reasons. One of the biggest reasons is case referrals have been down. And we've seen juvenile diversion rates have been down in Dakota County in recent years, but our referrals have just been down to the program. And so so with that, the program's just kind of going from there. But
so if there's a spike, who knows, down the road, maybe you'll be back.
Yeah.
There's fewer youth getting in trouble or competing programs or just...
I don't know that there's competing programs and maybe to my knowledge at least.
No.
Or diversion. There is still diversion being offered in Dakota County. Sarah Deck is the diversion coordinator, and she does offer diversion for the youth as well. Typically, the ones that she would refer to teen court would be on the low to medium risk. First-time youth offenders are a big one because we see the most success in those youth going through a teen court program. Having some parental support is also important, just because we're then working with them for 90 straight days following that, and just making sure that you have some accountability is very good. As I mentioned, we had some years where we had significant numbers of cases, and then in more recent years, it's just been a little bit of a decline, and I don't know if it's because maybe cases are harder cases than they used to be, or if we're just in general seeing less kids getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. So,
a repeat.
Or multiple.
And more serious.
Yeah. So, but we thank you guys so much. It's been a great 20 years. We've been very appreciative of that. So.
Well, thank you guys for all that you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, that'll take us to miscellaneous. Fred, got the road report.
April 5th through the 18th, total road maintenance, 390 hours, debris removal an hour and a half, garbage pickup is 9 hours, salt, sand, snow removal is 86 and a half hours, gravel haul 2,087 tons, sign repair and barricading 65 and a half hours. Been pretty quiet on road concerns, which is good.
All right. Yesterday was out driving around a little bit and saw an excavator and dozer setting back off the new road that we did to the Albanicious place. So just with everything going on, I thought I'd be curious and see what's going on down there. They were just putting a bunch of dirt into that front yard. It looks like as they're building that yard up in that new property, it's probably going to drain to the pit that Dakota Flats has in the back of their property. It looks like they're draining that back, so who knows. But
it looks like it'll drain to the north.
I think so. But out there, the water table has definitely gone down, so a lot of those issues that we had a week ago are gone.
Yep.
So.
The one other thing from public comment, dust control for the Iverson lady, that's about 400 and some feet. It's about 200 feet from 110 to into her property. And so 400 feet, just added another to pretty good.
Yeah.
$1 a running foot is about where that dust control is. Of course, Dakota County does not do any of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've told her throughout the years. And as you said, it's just opening up a...
Mm-hmm.
If you ever wanted to make something where someone has a lot of truck traffic that they have to put it down by residents, that's a resolution that you guys mm-hmm. have to discuss. That's the only other option. There is residents in Dakota County that put down dust control.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it at their own expense.
It looks like, you know, for the most part, the drivers are pretty conscientious about slowing down. And
of course, our trucks are coming in and out of there also. That's where we're...
And are they being conscientious too?
I told them to be...
Okay.
You know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to add that.
Yeah.
The price of it and...
What is the price?
What was
the price? 400 foot for how much?
Like $1 a linear foot?
$1 a running foot. So it'd be about $400 to do hers. They usually make two applications a year, uh-huh. once in the spring and once right before harvest is how they...
And I know that
residents do it.
A couple of the people I know that do have it, they just ask you not to run the grader over it, and that's something that could be
and
done
we
too.
We make them sign a waiver for that, and mm-hmm. we won't do it until the road needs it.
Yeah.
If it gets so rough that it's impeding other
then you have to
on the road. We usually try and do it right after it rains because that chloride holds the moisture up and doesn't seem to dissipate. If you drag dry dirt across it, you lose your dust control. Mm-hmm. If you do it when it's moist, you can cut the roughness out of the road and still retain some of your dust control.
Okay.
But I just wanted to add that so you
can graded it a lot.
No.
What's
that?
That
makes sense. That's good.
That's
yeah.
good. Yeah. Did I miss her telling us about on average how many trucks or how many trips a day?
I don't think she said.
I know it's a lot.
Yeah. And I would even with the dust, 10 an hour, you know, one every 10 minutes.
Even if they put down that dust control, would that hold up to that many trucks?
You might end up more than two applications.
That's what I was thinking, is that
there
just
where I've seen
so
it used
trucks.
A lot, you know, where there's a lot of trucks and they're trying to keep the dust down, after a while it saturates the ground, that'll works very well. The first one or two applications, it would probably not work as long or as good.
Okay. And Fred, just another concern that I have, or just something that I was driving by where the old Gateway Tavern was.
The old what? The
Gateway Tavern.
Yes.
Back behind Attica there, and it looks like they're doing some work there. I asked, somebody said there's a trucking outfit is putting in a garage area there. Have you seen a permit or anything come through?
I haven't seen the permit, yeah.
So,
we heard about it, though.
So, I guess the one concern I have is those roads aren't in the best shape back in that area, and depending on what they plan on using that for, you know, the weight could be an issue on those roads. The road going north is getting pretty beat up. The one going to the west isn't as bad yet, but just for your own heads up.
Yeah.
And then when I talk to, I'll run into the Southview Planning and Zoning guys and see if something has come through on that, because I haven't seen anything, but the guy told me that there was a trucking
out. Stockton's got a lot more business back in there also, mm-hmm. with his record truck.
Yeah.
Like you say, our blacktop, mm-hmm. I hate to see, you know, a gravel road.
Is one thing, but if they're beating up that gravel.
But at least they're easier fixed.
Yeah, and if they're having if they're going to, you know, store their semis down there or what have you, and they're bringing, you know, loaded stuff back there.
I did see some construction going on, yeah. But I didn't hear what was happening.
Yeah, that's what the guy that was on the little mini excavator said. I was just nosy. I just said, hey, what's going on here? And he said, well, we're putting in a trucking outfit.
Text message from a resident on 164th. So after I drove the 160th, I went up to 164th and drove that. He was very complimentary on the road grader, had been out quite a lot. He was just a little worried about there's not many ditches, but it's so flat and low, I don't know where you would put ditches then there. But yeah, he was very complimentary on the grading. Just worried about if we did get a lot of water, where it would go.
Yeah. On 164th,
yeah.
Yeah. The west end needs to be somewhat built up, and maybe not as quite as vigorous with our ditch system on the rest of it.
It's hard, yeah.
We have Dakota County's never had a program where we actually shouldered up the roads and did ditches. And when we have just seven operators, we don't have a dirt crew no more, we don't have anything like that, so we've fallen way behind. And then that's, of course, mm-hmm. with the last 2-3 years of weather. Yeah. But there's a lot of ditches that need to be cleaned in Dakota County, but there always has been.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Fred. All right, that takes us to Kim. She had gathered a little bit of information for us with regard to the energy farms, and she's given us a copy of what Stanton County did, and just more information for us to continue on our way.
Kim.
Go ahead.
We're supposed to go back to planning and zoning, and then they would research.
Well, we're just kind of researching, okay. to see what we can and can't do.
Okay.
If you want them to amend again, it would basically just start the process over. But you can see what Stanton County did. I reached out just to see if I could get a copy of what they did. So it took them over 8 months to review and update with public input, just that wind section. So, and as you heard all the information at the last meeting that Marcy brought, there's a lot. Wildlife, health, all of this information out there about how the effects impact everything around it. And I also, I'm not sure if you guys had a chance to look at that in your email.
Yeah.
The Wind Energy Guide for County Commissioners from the U.S. Department of Energy just gives you a ton of information on everything about these,
yeah. Everything's soup to nuts on it.
But what Stanton County did, after they got their regulations, they were updating from 1998. And so they left their section in wind energy in the regulations, but then their resolution, if you look on the third page, amend Article 4, commercial utility grade to show not permitted for the wind energy conversion system. So that's how they...
I didn't print that out for them, sorry.
Okay.
I was going to bring my computer and put it up on the screen.
I gave each everybody's
phone. Oh, yeah. Oh, that
this
one.
One. This one. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, if you look at that last page, the lines...
is over here.
It's that first section in the line.
Here.
Right
here.
Okay.
Like wind energy conversion system, they just amended that article section and just said not permitted in all districts.
But we would have to go through a kind of a public hearing to do something like countywide.
If you wanted to amend them again.
But if we wanted to make a resolution?
We don't have to.
See, I wish we would have had this last time. Looks like they did this as part of their approval of the rates. But other counties, let's see, we've got Antelope County. They had a permit, which I don't think we've got any permits out there, applications, nothing out there at this point. But they were looking at a conditional use permit application. And they just basically said, we're going to wait 6 months. They put a moratorium on it. We're going to update. Do some research, update our regs, and just said nothing right now. We're not doing any of it right now. Mm-hmm. Yep. They actually extended it because it was taking longer to get all their regs updated the way they wanted. And yeah, that's Antelope County. And that was in 2016, 2017. But yeah, they put a moratorium just waiting. In the meantime, to get their regs updated, looking at all the health issues, and they just wanted to make sure they had everything. So there's a lot of information out there.
That's for sure.
Madison County did it, 6 month moratorium to allow time to study existing zoning regulations pertaining to wind energy conversion turbines. That was in 2018. 2019, just December, Hamilton County Board had a conditional use permit come up. They denied it, created a moratorium on the building of wind turbines until they could, they were comfortable that they knew the health impact. So it would just be up to how you guys wanted to handle that, if you feel like you have enough information that you want to place a moratorium, or if you want to have them do more studies and update the regs again. Basically starting the update process.
Well, I don't know that it's necessary to probably update those regs if they've already updated those to, you know, what they deem
stricter.
And then if it is the type of thing that, you know, we could enact a moratorium. Now, I guess I feel like I have enough information to decide one way or another. I don't know how you guys feel.
I'm of the same mindset. I think between planning and zoning and, you know, just what we've been reading. And yeah, I don't know where more information is going to change my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of the same way, but I guess I didn't realize we can just do this without having to go through any...
And we were thinking that we would go back to planning and zoning, but we've already updated our planning and zoning, and if we would want to wait to the next meeting to actually enact a moratorium, if you felt like you'd be more comfortable doing that, that's not a problem at all either, Dana.
No, I'm fine with that. I just didn't realize we could do that. Approved the old ones last week, so I didn't realize.
So we would want to make it an action item in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Yeah.
If that's
yeah.
And then I'll finish reading through. I did read through some of those attachments, but
yeah.
Not that big book.
Large
that
big book.
I read through some of it. It was exciting reading.
Yeah, I was going to print it. It said 37, and I was yeah. like, oh, I don't think I read a print.
I read the other ones, like the news articles and
the specs and yeah.
Every time I do that, I think to myself about three pages, and I'm glad that I don't have a job where I look at a computer continuously, because that would be hard on me.
Yeah, because I like to highlight things, so it's hard to read it on your phone and your computer.
Well, let's do that then. Let's go ahead and put it as an action item in 2 weeks, and we'll go forward from there.
Good research, though, Kim. That was very helpful.
Yeah, it really was. Thanks for doing that, Kim.
Attached and then.
Touch base at all.
Did Joe maybe?
Again, they should be.
Their meeting is the 3rd.
Tomorrow night.
Yours is tomorrow.
Too late. Are they having one tomorrow night? It's the 3rd Tuesday of the month.
I don't know how they're handling their meetings either. Are they getting together yet?
If they have no agenda, then they don't meet, so I'm not.
But they did put a lot of work in this, so I think they should at least be notified that this is what we're thinking about doing.
And I can send this to Joe.
Yeah, let's do that. And then ask him if he wants.
They did a lot of research, so they might be able to provide some insight to say, you know, this is
and then just
this concerning. We just wanted to make it as strict as we could. Or
and then ask Joe if he wants to be present at the meeting in 2 weeks.
And any permit would still. You know, if something, it would still come to you, so you would know.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
Oh, so if something came in the meantime, there'd be.
You would know. Yeah.
Okay.
It would still have to be an application. So the way you've got it in the update is a conditional use.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that'd be good.
Okay.
That's so too.
Sounds like a good plan. So
commissioner committee reports. Those have definitely fallen off with everything that's going on. I did get contacted. The Veterans Oversight Committee is going to meet on the 28th on Zoom. And those guys, I would say that I'm probably about as techno-savvy as any of those guys, and I am caveman when it comes to that. So it'll be interesting to see if we can get that put together.
I haven't done a live Zoom meeting. That's crazy. Thank you guys. I know you guys put in the letter of support for the Boost Grant, and we don't really have to do anything. It just has to say something to the fact that we are in favor of programs that help youth avoid that.
Yeah.
With the law and what have you. So, and then also I saw in the press releases that Deanna's been sending. She's been sending a lot of good information. People went from 6 to 66 in less than a week.
Basically. Yeah. I've stopped by there most days, just to touch base with them. And Natasha's up there quite a bit with County Health, too. They have 3 different people that report the number of different testing sites that they get information from. And it's the place of origin. So the majority of the people that are testing positive are testing in Sioux City, but it's wherever your residence is your positive input. And there was 66 going into the day. I know that there's been several more today. They haven't got the number together from the other all our reporting places. So Natasha, having her first full week as county health director, is I asked her if she wanted to run for the door, and she said she knows that it's going to get better than it is right now. So there are a couple of things with that. When they have more and more people that are testing positive, then they start tracking those people, where they've been over the last 14 days. Then they find out where they've been as best they can. They contact those places. They get more information. So it's just, you know, building a pyramid in reverse for 14 days. They have a staff of 5 people back there. And when we had 0 cases, it was great. When we had 6 cases, they were fine. It rapidly outgrew what they can do. So they contacted Northeast Tech, has helped them with some people to help trace. I believe there's a couple of interns for UNMC that are helping. They're also going to hire some short-term seasonal staff to help with that. So there's definitely going to be some costs incurred with what we have going on. FEMA apparently has said that, that we will be made whole, but who knows, you know, when and how that works. So there are definitely going to be some costs. You know, we're at 60 now. Who knows? You know, you just hope for the best. You hope we hit a peak and we start working the other way. But right now that we're going up at a pretty rapid rate. So I just say everybody be careful.
I thought I put this on, but I... Can we put it under emergency business?
Yeah.
I think we can extend your deadline to keep the courthouse closed. Or
yeah.
I'm sorry. I printed it out. I thought I had.
I would be in favor of going another 2 weeks as is, and then looking at it in 2 weeks and deciding what we want to do with our courthouse with the what we're in the middle of right now. I don't think it'd be wise to open the doors. Appointment only.
Agree. Do we need a motion, or do we just
no?
No. Okay.
Well, Tim, can we make a motion?
We're just continue.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I would make a motion that we continue status quo with the courthouse, that we continue to have it as appointment only, and do that for another 2 weeks until our next meeting.
I can second that.
Which will be on May 4th.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Does it seem to be working out okay? I guess that'd be my question.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that there's no other option, so what do? You just do the best you can.
And they still get in for court if they show up.
Mm-hmm. So. We're coming to a tax time, so it'll be interesting to see how the first half of, tax collection goes. So, we'll see. I know they can do 99% of that through the mail. I did have a gentleman that I turned in for that who didn't have any luck turning it in himself. And then after he turned it in and the check had cleared for 7 days, he still hadn't received a receipt. So he was kind of upset. So hopefully he's got a receipt by now. Must be busy.
I put in everybody's packet the letter from Lance Hedquist on 2019 annual tax increment financing report. NERMA has given us some guidance if we would go to telecommuting, but I'm not aware of very many employees that are doing that. Phyllis maybe is the only employee that I'm aware of. She doesn't really need a policy, so. Would we go to something like that if somebody at the courthouse
came positive? If somebody was positive here and has contact with everybody, it might be the type of deal that we would do it. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But
I think Dixon County is doing kind of like a rotating schedule.
They are.
Up there, yeah.
Some people in, some people out.
There's two people in the local
And county
office.
Court is doing that also. Uh-huh. Sarah told me that she was at home on call. And then they're rotating people, but we don't have the staff to do that. We don't have the staff.
I've been with
one and two people in the apartment. So I'm sick, and then you're like, oh goodness.
I will say I got here about 9:30 this morning, and nobody in the clerk's office, I think, sat down in that time between all of the election stuff coming in and everything going on. It's a very busy time there at the courthouse. All right, so on our end of it, the commissioner meeting, I would say we get adjourned if we can get through the mail, right? Yep. All right, so we'll hand it over to Kevin.
Well, thanks for coming, Marcy.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, it is 2:11. We will begin the Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting for April 20th, 2020. Joan, could you call roll, please?
Kevin?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Martin?
Yep.
I will make a motion to excuse Larry and Tony.
I'd second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin.
Yep.
Kevin.
Yes. Current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board Meeting Room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll begin with the consent agenda items. There's only one, and that is approval of the previous minutes from April 6th, 2020. I'll make a motion to accept the consent agenda items.
I'll second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
Rhoda? Janet?
Yes.
Make sure it was me. All right, we'll move on to new business and start with Jeff Curry requesting the board approval of omitted and clerical errors.
Okay. We have a few more today than we did last time.
All right. Thank you.
I'm trying to split a bunch of trailers up between two or three different meetings.
Would you lay one on?
Oh, yeah.
Out of 10 minutes.
Thank you.
Ooh.
Is it just one page?
It's just this one page. There should be 21 on it.
Okay.
And our first 18 are all omitted. And what this is, I think what I'll do is I'll do an exception out of that 18. There's one not in Lake Village. Line item number 2, where it says lot 408 Parkview. That's an older trailer that just keeps getting moved and bouncing around, and we just finally caught up to it. So it's somebody else that owns it, and they rent it, and then they pick it up and they move it, and we finally caught them, so they're on here. But the rest of them, line item number 1 all the way through to line item 18, are all located in Lake Village. Are all 17, 18, they bought a whole suite over the last couple of years of new trailers to bring in and rent or sell. And as we get them put in, we go out and we pick them up. Well, when we went through this year and we rolled that first abstract, we didn't roll mobile homes, so they never got rolled, so they're omitted. So we were going back through and picking all the new ones up and adding them back under the books and adding the value. And if you look all the way to the, you know, like the notes on them will just say omitted mobile home court, kind of tell you which court it is and what the lot is. In case anybody's ever interested, they can drive out there and take a look at them. Over all the way to the right, what you're going to find, and then at the bottom is the total, is what value, you know, the new tax revenue that's going to come into the county and the new, just the county alone, that's our levy after the tax credit. And the far right column would be, that's everybody else, that's county-wide, so that's all the school districts or wherever else. And most of these, the tax district on them are 5. So it all kind of in South Sioux. And then the last 3 are clericals, and these were data entry issues where things weren't saved right or they forgot to add a line item. Because you'll see there's a whole cluster of them in the 40 range. Like, they bought a whole bunch that are 43,100. When you see that, it's the exact same unit. It's just right hand and left hand. So they all in our system would come up at the same value. But what happened with these bottom 3 are, instead of adding a deck or adding the skirting or something like that, it didn't stick or they didn't add it. So when we rolled it, the value actually went up when we actually completed the site, full install onto the sites. So line item 19, on that one there was, the condition was wrong on it for the age of the trailer. They didn't have the skirting right in it. They didn't complete it. So that would have gone from 36,255 to 41,90. Line item 20, this is also going to be a clerical error. And on this guy, it looks like we, again, didn't complete it, plus we didn't get the skirting tacked onto it. And then the last one, they missed the skirting and the deck on this one. So they went out and it was picked up. It was on the blocks. The water and everything was hooked up. So they just left. Usually when that happens with the setup on it, the decks get their prefab. They just get shoved onto them. Same skirting gets wrapped around. It's within a day or two. So I finished that one for them, and we put that in, and that one went from 29 to 32. It's a little bit smaller on that one. So that's what we have. It's all trailers. I'm trying to get through. We have one more batch that I'm going through and looking at right now. And so hopefully the next in 2 weeks I'll bring you some more of those and we'll get that knocked out. So far we only have three that are houses that I'm still reviewing. And they're all, no permit was given to us. So we just found them out doing other stuff and picked them up. So we're going to be adding some of those here probably. If not in the next meeting, it'll be the meeting after. Depends on how many more trailers I got to finish. They're a lot of work for such a little thing.
Uh-huh.
But that's it. So there were 21 total for us.
So their valuation will go from $96,000 to $781,000. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's because, yeah, the big bulk of them, we just didn't even have
them.
Didn't
have anything on there.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But that's the new value. My opinion's in blue, and then whatever the board decides or wants to have on them will go into the gray once we're done.
Yeah, Lake Village has done a lot of
work. Yeah, they're doing a ton. They still got some that are still sitting on the tongues that they haven't hooked up yet, but there'll be more coming next year.
Where's this at? Is that the one that's out by
Martin's Airfield?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
Yep. It's amazing because there was a time in that court's life where it was really, really a pretty tough place.
It was ready to just kind of be moved right over to the salvage yard. It's right next to it.
They got rid of about a third of their trailers and
put
a bunch of new ones in. It's really changed it.
Yeah. Your calls gone down out there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
It's a lot. They got rid of a lot of the old trailers, and they're doing it the way trailer courts have to do it now. And it's either sell them, buy a bunch, sell them, or rent them, and then offer them, you know, rent to sell. It's about the only way to do it anymore. A lot of people, that's how they get into a home early.
Yeah.
So they since they were sold, they were bankrupt and then foreclosed on, and the new company that bought them has really turned it around. They had actually thought about just pushing it in and reselling the land, but they thought there was enough of a market here to invest in it, which was I'm glad they did.
Looks like it's working.
Yeah, it's adding value for us. Mm-hmm. So when we're done with it, I'm sure we'll get about $1 million, the trailer value out of it. Which takes a lot of trailers to get there, and the old ones.
Yeah.
You're doing it a couple grand a pop. It takes a while.
And that's on the high side.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a 1974 Shangri-La. That's a high-end baby there. But that's all. Do you guys have any questions on any? The rest of them just weren't rolled to add to our value, so the omitted ones. The ones that start out with the zeros, the other ones were clerical.
I'll make a motion to accept your opinion and move those from the rate in 2019 to the higher, reflecting the newer trailers.
I'd second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
All right, and that is all I have. Oh, I'm sorry. I got one more going on.
Yep.
I don't know if you had any agreements that got signed.
No, I
reached out to them, but
The only one I'm a little concerned with. I think we're fine with Innovative. I'll talk to him Wednesday. Daryl sounds like we're going to do it. I owe him a call back, but the guy over in Sioux City, Jim Tri-State, he lost Shannon. I didn't hear that until he's still thinking about it. He said he'd get back to me early this week, though, to see how much of a workload he can
handle.
And even if he does a little bit, we can use Daryl for commercial, too. So
Helbig, possibly? Or
what's that?
Helbig?
And Helvig's a CG. He can do anything, too. Okay. So, and Doug will always help us.
Okay.
So that's good there, too. I don't know if we'll get any egg this year or not.
What time of the year do you do this send out where we start getting the protests back?
We are, once we get finished after the next meeting or two, we have to have the change of values out by June 1st. So they will be coming in,
yep.
Depending, I forget where June 1st lands this year, but the
Friday.
They'll be here.
Friday.
Oh,
so June Monday. 1st. I'm looking at that in May. Oh, it's a Monday.
We call it Friday.
It's a Monday? Yeah, so that week we'll know. First week of June.
Okay.
We'll get a good idea. Like I said, we did some small increases in some of our smaller towns and stuff, but nothing extravagant or nobody was like huge monumental jumps or anything like that. Just market adjustments.
And your tube helpers, since they got a little more time on, they're doing a good job for you?
Oh, yeah. They can pull all the comps and everything. So that's going to help us a lot this year with the protest, too. Which is hopefully so we can reduce what we need from referee work. Because now we have them pull their own comps and everything. But what I've got these two up to date now, because they're both have taken all the training to take an assessor's test. So they're ready whenever they want to try it.
No.
Which is good. So we need at least one more person in the county with that.
Mm. So then they will be able to, if we are using these third parties, but they'll be able to pull the comps and stuff and reduce the amount of work that
Third so we can, well, good. When they come see us first, we can just
hand them the packet.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah, so good. They've really come around good. So
that'll
help us.
Very good.
Wonderful.
Great.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff.
So, item B, board to approve the chair to sign referee agreements.
There are none.
We have nothing to do with that, so move on to mail and or emergency business, which there is none of that. We'll open up to public comment. There is no public left. And we will adjourn at 2:24.
All right.
Easy. Hey. Oh, 15 minutes. Very good.
Yeah. Wonderful.
I have a question about this text thing from Lance. What does this exactly mean? I have no idea what this means.
The TIF thing?
Like it means it's costing the county money.
Project cost for $10 million. TIF-based value, $141,000. TIF excess value, $1 million. Does that mean that's potential down the road?
The TIF base value is what the county can claim as their value and is taxable.
Oh, it is taxable.
That was before they started the project.
Okay.
And then the TIF excess value is how much money the investor has put into that project.
Okay.
And that dollar amount is the city gets all of it.
Oh, really?
So their value is increased by that, but it's not on anybody else.
Like the property tax or anything like that. It's not like that yet.
They get the person's property tax has gone up, but how do you? South Sioux gets all of it, so that Flatwater can be worth
$10 million,
and South Sioux gets all the taxes. The county doesn't get any. The city doesn't. They get all the taxes on what they call the excess. On that first 15 years. And we're
15 years.
15
yeah.
years.
For 15 years.
TIF. And then we sit at that base value. Now, they're supposed to take that money.
The thing about that, too, Jan.